Welcome back to another episode of Back Porch Theology. You have found yourself on my back porch. This is your host, Caleb Moore, and this is where we shoot you straight. We talk plain and simple. We don't adopt the modern snowflake modernist language of the day. We strive to speak and think biblically and to be strong, steadfast, and always abound in the work of the Lord, fighting the fight of faith with joy in our hearts and enjoying the life that the good Lord has blessed us with. Oh, and don't forget, here on the back porch, we also would shout for joy if LeBron James decided to boycott the rest of the season, because we, the Marxism and the class warfare that comes spilling out of that guy's mouth every time he's in front of a microphone. All right, so one of the goals on Back Porch Theology is that we want to think like men or women. We don't want to think like little boys and little girls throwing a temper tantrum like we see on the nightly news, like we are hearing from almost every single professional athlete out there right now. We want to think soberly, clearly, logically, reasonably, and ultimately biblically. So on this episode of Back Porch Theology, I want to help just inject a little sanity into our national discourse right now. And hopefully this will help you take the false gods and idols of chaos that we see being worshipped in our day to the woodshed. Okay, so as you know, right now we're in the thick of the RNC on the nightly television, and it is awesome. I hope you're tuning in and clapping and cheering as we see men and women who actually love our country and want to fight for a measure of righteousness and want to fight some full-on righteousness. We got lots of Christians, real Christians, standing up there fighting for righteousness. And then you have others that are standing up there fighting to preserve the Christian ideals that make America such an exceptional and awesome place to live in. Now, let's compare that with the DNC clown show that was on all last week. The big talking point of the DNC was the claim that they are for the light, whereas their opponents, the conservatives and Republicans, are for the darkness. Now, this is truly what Isaiah said, inspired by the Holy Ghost, so many years ago, that a nation that is being cursed by God will call dark lightness and lightness dark. They'll call evil good and good evil. Now, that is the bumper sticker on the Democratic prison bus. Now, when it came to their tax levied against President Trump, it was the normal stuff, a bunch of lies. So set the lies aside, and then you had the ad hominem, and this is kind of the meat and potatoes of what we're talking about right now, the illogical ad hominem argument, where you, and ad hominem means to the man. Okay, so when someone is performing a task or fulfilling an office or a job, they should be judged on not their sex, their God-given sex, not their God-given color, but on the job they're doing, on the efficiency, on the fruit of the work that they are actually on, their performance, right? So it's one thing to say, the free market is really bad, and President Trump helped the free market. And it's really bad because I can prove to you that socialism is better, so President Trump is bad. Or, it'd be another thing to say that murdering unborn babies or preborn babies is a good thing, and President Trump is against murdering preborn babies. Therefore, President Trump is not a good president. Okay, so they wouldn't have the honesty, of course, to argue like that. So instead, they say the honesty of their own intentions and their own worldview, right? Instead, they say he's mean, he's rude, and the best thing that good old Biden has going for him is he's kind, he's gentle. Which I don't know if you've seen any of the video clips of him flipping out on people and saying the craziest things. But so Biden, so they're wrong on two counts, okay? So they're wrong that Biden is not nice. He's a very nasty guy. But also, number two, and more importantly to the point, is that's an ad hominem argument. So let's say I came to someone preaching the gospel to them, pressing their need to repent of their sins and to put their faith and trust in Christ for salvation. And they said, well, that can't be true. What you're saying can't be true because I saw you being kind to your children, or because I saw you kick the cat down the stairs or something. I don't know. That's an ad hominem argument. Me kicking the cat down the stairs has nothing to do with the truthfulness of them being a sinner, guilty before God, and needing to put their faith and trust in Christ. So that's an ad hominem argument, and that's actually breaking the rules of reasoning. So when your friends or your coworkers or your family say, I don't like President Trump, you can ask them, well, why don't you like President Trump? Oh, because he has a funny haircut, or because he's mean on Twitter, or because he's a racist. You could say, okay, why is he a racist? Oh, because he doesn't want illegal immigrants to flood our borders. Well, that's not racism. Actually, that's a straw man. So that's another logical fallacy, is when you make up false things about your opponent and then you knock it down and think that you've actually won the argument. That's a straw man. That's like shadow boxing. It's not very effective. It's not very fruitful. Throw out a bunch of punches that don't ever land. Right? So why don't you like President Trump? Because he's mean. Well, whether or not he's mean, that's not the point. The point is he doing a good job? Is he upholding the Constitution that he swore an oath to uphold? So you take those ad hominem arguments to the woodshed. And here's the real power of using logic as we dismantle the false ideas of the day and every false idea that exalts itself above the truth and above the knowledge of God in Christ. The real power is that logic is the way that God has designed our minds to work. And so it's a part of what we would call natural revelation, or a part of God's created order. So God has written two great books. One is infallible and clear, and the other one is less clear, right? So the clear one is Scripture. The one that's less clear, a lot less clear, is creation. And so thinking logically, applying the rules of logic to how we reason through things and how we help others to reason through things, is applying a tool that God has hardwired into the created order. And that's the power. That's the power of logic, is you can help people to see how their reasoning is built upon quicksand. And it's a lot firmer of a foundation to come over and stand on the solid reality that God has created. All right, so last episode of Back Porch Theology, I mentioned how the Marxists running through the streets have been tearing down statues and monuments and defacing public property, obviously burning cars, killing people, and how we need to push back against that with all of our might. And I mentioned Christopher Columbus, how Christopher Columbus has been one of the men that they have most violently attacked. And it's almost as if the more godly a historical figure is, the more violence, the more opposed, and the more lied about they are. I wonder why that is. I wonder why the people that are burning down the streets are also burning Bibles at the same time, along with the American flag. Huh. Maybe it's because they hate everything that our nation was built on. Because they hate everything that our nation used to stand for, and I believe is going to get back to, which is the truth of God. That we may once again be the light, a light to the world like we used to be. So, if you went to a public school, or if you went to a Christian school like me that unfortunately was misinformed, that the writers of the textbooks probably went to public school, you probably learned that Christopher Columbus, in 1492, he sailed the ocean blue. All right, so far so good. And then you'll probably have been taught, you probably were taught, that he did so in order to set out to prove if the world was flat or if it was round. Well, that's a lie. That's not true. Hardly anybody believed that the world was flat back in 1492. In fact, if you did think the earth was flat in 1492, you probably resided at the local funny farm. So, here's the truth, okay? You ready? And this is original sources. You can look this up. And I hope you got some of those books that I mentioned on the last episode of Back Porch Theology that cite these original sources. And again, an original source is going to the actual person who lived in that time frame, maybe even to the person himself, and examine what he wrote, what he said, to find out really what was his thought process and the reason why he did what he did. So, Christopher Columbus wrote a letter after getting to what's now America, to King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, saying, "Please don't let anyone come over here to this new world who is not a Christian, because the whole purpose of my expedition was to advance Christendom and the glory of Christ." Okay, so that doesn't sound to me like a crazy slave-owning bigot, misogynist, whatever else he's being called out there. That sounds to me like a pretty rock-solid guy that actually loves Jesus and wants to advance God's glory in the earth, maybe even disciple the Indians. So part of the package of lying about the explorers who are Christian, like Cortez, who explored Mexico and Central America, who was also a great Christian and evangelist. Part of the great humanist lie that you will probably hear is this idea of the noble savage, that when Christopher Columbus came over here, he came over here to, kind of a Walt Disney Pocahontas type thing, where the Indians were the good guys, and here comes the evil white man to colonize the free people. Well, in reality, every nation throughout the world that had dwelt in darkness, that had not had the gospel of Jesus Christ come to them and actually say, you are sinning and you need to repent of your sin and trust in Christ and leave your sin at the cross. Every nation that had not yet heard the gospel was actually not better for it. I mean, going back to Britain. I mean, Britain used to be filled with savages. Well, what happened? Missionaries came, the gospel spread, and brought a civilized moral society along with it. So a moral society is the fruit of the advancement of Christendom, of Christ's kingdom. So when Christopher Columbus came over to America, he did not find peaceful Indians. What did he find? He found savages that were eating one another, that were murdering babies, that were enslaving one another. That's kind of crazy. That's quite different than the stuff that we hear about good old Christopher Columbus. So if anyone out there knows guys like LeBron James, feel free to tweet them and say, those historical figures that you hate so much are the reason why you can make millions and millions and millions of dollars within a matter of 6 months every year, Mr. James, Mr. LeBron James. And because you got a funny look by a white guy one time doesn't make it righteous for you to foment riots in the streets, bro. If in fact you did get a funny look from a white guy one time, an old crusty white guy, maybe it was because he thought it funny that you were walking around with such a scowl on your face and drying your tears with your, you know, $1 million watch on your wrist or something, you know? All this to say that when we are engaging in public discourse, when we are being bold as a lion and opening our mouth and engaging with the every idea that it poses itself against the knowledge of God in Christ, watch out for the argument that devolves into just name-calling. When you're being just called names, like a white supremacist, because you won't raise your fist, like these folks all across the country that are trying to sit down and eat at outdoor restaurants, and you have a mob of these crazy liberal, you know, 19-year-old white kids with these face masks on and with their black power fist up in the air, yelling at these people just trying to eat a meal until they put their fist in the air. Realize that something's going on here besides actual police brutality and actual, you know, black injustice. It's Marxism. It's class warfare. It's chaos. This is the fruit of people bowing down to the false god, the idol of chaos. And we need to be equipped to do battle against these things with the truth of God, and with the truth of true history and true reasoning, logic. Yes. Well, thanks for sitting down with me for a little bit on another episode of Back Porch Theology. Be sure to rate the podcast and share it. Tweet about it. Share it on the Instas and the socials. That way we can be a little bit of a help to those around us to think biblically, to think strong, and to act strong, and to keep our powder dry. Until next time, keep your hand to the plow, remain steadfast, and always abound in the work of the Lord. We'll catch you next time.